The imagery found in the Old Testament as it relates to death is quite vivid. So here in the New Testament, we have an equally vivid look at the sting that's taken away from death, as we'll see next on this special edition of Truth for Today, celebrating Resurrection Sunday. Greetings and welcome to Truth for Today with Pastor Phil Howard from Valley Bible Church in Hercules, and from all of us here at Truth for Today and Valley Bible, happy Resurrection Sunday. We're looking at John chapter 20, message simply called Death is Robbed of Its Prey, and that is a vivid portrayal of what's taken place here as we celebrate an empty grave. Join us for a marvelous look at our Lord's resurrection and what it means for you and I today. Here's Pastor Phil Howard now with today's broadcast of Truth for Today.
We pick up verse 25. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Where were the disciples? It was the women that stayed at the cross. It was the women that was first to the tomb. It was a woman like this that followed and went along to be sure Jesus was buried right. They brought spices. They were there. They were devoted followers of Christ. And she's going to be the first proclaimer of the resurrection. You know, by the time we get through debating what women can do in society or the church, let me say this. God picked this woman to be the first one to bear the gospel. First one. She's the first one that ever said, Christ rose again. I saw it. I know it. Let's look at five things that she experienced in this encounter with the resurrected Christ. First of all, verse 14, she didn't recognize him when she saw him. She thought he was the gardener. Now look at this. This woman has been through a horrendous day yesterday. It's early in the morning. She's run back, told the men, come to the tomb. She's in sorrow. She's weeping. She's wondering. And all of a sudden, after these angelic beings depart, she looks, and there's someone that talks to her, but she's saying, I'm in a garden. This must be the gardener. This is nothing new in Scripture. God has shown up many times, and those that were there didn't know who he was. Think of the Emmaus Road in Luke 24. They're walking along the Emmaus Road, two men. They're discussing the events of the crucifixion. And as they talk, Jesus joins them all of a sudden, and he's walking with them, and they kept walking. They didn't even know who he was. This is the resurrected Christ. But their hearts were so full of sorrow, they had no perception of who was traveling with them. And he finally opens their eyes to see that it's him. They were on the Sea of Galilee one time, and all of a sudden Jesus comes walking on the waters, and they say, well, there's another ghost. How many times did they ever see a ghost walking on the water? They're blind. They don't know who he is. Jacob said one time when he was at Bethel, God was here and I didn't know it. God was here and I didn't know it. And I sort of wonder how many times God might have been there when our heart was broken and we were losing hope and we were in despair and he showed up and you never realized it was him. It's easy not to recognize Christ. The majority of this world still doesn't know who he is, and they wouldn't know him if they saw him. Only he can make you understand who he is. Second thing, it's very interesting. She said, what have you done? What are you doing, woman? What are you seeking? And she, thinking he was the gardener, said, Well, they've carried him away. Tell me where you've laid him, and I will take care of him. I will take him away. Now, how could Mary carry Jesus' body? She, even at this stage, is saying, let me know where he is. I'll take care of him. What a startling reality that was going to happen. Mary, I'll never need to be taken care of again. Never. You see, I'm going home, and I got angels waiting on me. I got all of heaven bowing to me. I won't need any more your support. I will have a place to lay my head. I have a throne up there. This is where I came from. That's where I'm going back. Thanks for the offer, hon, but I don't need it. You won't have to rescue me. I'm going where nobody can get to me. Nobody can hurt me. But in her heart, oh, what a heart of a servant. I want to go in there, and I want to do something to help him. You know what? I have to say this. The only way you can help Jesus today is to help people. He's doing fine. There's nothing we've got that he needs. And he says, if you want to love me, and if you want to help me, help people. One of the judgments of Matthew 25, people say, Jesus says, enter into my kingdom. You fed me. You clothed me. You visited me in prison, and the people are startled. When did we ever see you this way? And he said, when you did it to the least of my brothers, you did it to me. In this world, the only way you'll ever minister to Jesus is to minister to people. He doesn't need our money today. You know why we took the offering? We want to pay the mortgage. We want to buy the literature. We want to pay the PG. We want to do all that mundane stuff that, you know what? I just wanted to be married and have kids. I didn't want to pay rent. It comes with it. We're not about taking offerings. We're about the gospel. But it sure takes a lot of money to do what we do. And yet, what's the most important is Christ. Christ. Well, he says something that I think, what makes her finally realize who she's talking to? He said, Mary. Miriam. Now, I'm going to ask you, how many women in the world do you think are named Mary? Especially the Hebrew women. Miriam. Going all the way back. It was one of the most common names you could have. How many Smiths are there in the world? How many Browns? How many Joneses? How many Phillips? How many Dianes? How many this and that? But he just said this, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni. That's what she knew him as the teacher. You come to recognize Christ once he speaks your name. And there is something about the personality and the individuality of this relationship with Christ. I remember when he spoke my name, and I came. And I came to understanding. It's amazing. It wasn't just Mary. She obviously recognized the tone, the enunciation, whatever. She knew when she heard her name. Scripture says that Jesus calls his own by name. He has named his people. And he speaks to them, come to me. And when you hear that voice, that is the voice of eternity that arrested our heart when we were in. That's what arrested Randy. He finally heard the voice of Jesus say, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'll give you hope. Mary. And immediately the recognition light comes on. I sort of thought about that. In my marriage, when there were differences, one of the irritants that I have dealt with is the tonality in which I'm spoken to. And sometimes I've said, you seem very harsh. I just told you to take out the trash. Could you put that in a requestive mode? Could you, Philip, would you please take out? instead of, would you take out the trash? And why didn't you do it yesterday? And she said, you're so touchy about tone. I said, I am. Because the tone of your voice says more than the message you bear. Your face and tone are the message. Do I have a witness? The message and the tone. Hey, get in there, do that. Or you say the instruction. I said, do it. See, all that, our voice, our face, I think of my own parents. Didn't your parents have a way of saying your name different from anyone else? And there was a tonality and a decimal level my mother reached when you better get in. It's when she hit that third level, then you quit playing with the guys and you got in. The third, that was always the third. She said, I'm never going to call you over three times. That was mercy. Tonality. I ask you this. How does God talk to us today? I had a man ask me the other day, how do you know when God's talking to you? How do you know it's not just your heart, your imagination, your this or that? God talks to us through this. He has given his word. Can you hear his voice if you won't read his word? Because some of you are too lazy to read his word, so you're hoping he's just going to talk to you out of clear blue. And God said, you remember what the rich man in hell, he said, please send somebody back to tell my brothers not to come to this place. And Abraham said, if they will not listen to the prophets, and if they will not listen to Moses, even though one were to come back from the dead, they will not listen to him. What God has said in his word, God talks constantly to us in this book. This is his word. You know what? I wish your eyes could be turned into ears. When you read that, he's talking to you. Is that true? God talks to us in his word. I was not in any armies. I was not in any wars. My wife still has the love letters from her dad and mom when he was in World War II. She still has them after all these years. Mother left them to daughter. She's kept a few that she wrote me. She didn't write me very much because we weren't apart. She's conquered. I was over here. But in the summer, I would preach. I was preaching in Fort Smith, Arkansas, Van Buren, Arkansas, Seminole, Oklahoma, Chickasha, Paris, Arkansas. In the summer, I'd preach in Tulsa. I was holding meetings back there in the summer. I was 19. And we were engaged by the time we were 19. And she would write. And always sparingly with her words of affection. She didn't say this, I love you, baby. No, no, when she said it, you just clung to it. Because that's not her makeup. But I still have some of the letters she wrote. And that was her voice. That was her voice. I hated the way she started the letters, always. How are you doing? I don't want any questions. I want you to state how you feel about me. She'd get to it. I still got them. The perfume has evaporated. But the words are there. That was her voice. That was her vocabulary. That was her sentiments. God is talking to us today through his word. He's talking to you right here in John 20 and saying, I'm maybe the unrecognized guest in your life. I might be the unrecognized person in your life, in your sorrows, your disappointments. I show up at the hardest times because I want you to know who I am. You ought to be listening for him to call your name. Come unto me. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will may come. You can know God. You must come. You must come by faith. You must believe in this resurrected Christ. He goes on to say that, tells her that she must back off because she's clinging to Christ. Matthew said she fell at his feet, grasped his feet, and didn't want to let go. Why was she doing that? She didn't want to lose him again. She's clinging out of anxiety, really. She adored this man that had delivered her from demons. She loved this man that she'd followed for 3 years. She loved this man that brought her to the tomb early in the morning. And she's just saying, I don't want to lose him. I don't want him to be taken away. I don't want him to be arrested. And he's saying, whoa, 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 Mary, let go, because I'm on a mission. I'm going back to the Father. And over those 40 days, he's up and down many times, because he will appear 12 different times during those 40 days. Let go, Mary. You can't hold me to yourself. We can't just stay here in the garden. And then he tells her, I've got an assignment for you. I want you to take the good news. This is a day of not weeping. I want you to take the good news to all the brethren. And he says something wonderful. Go tell my brothers I'm alive. Isn't that interesting? They moved from disciples to brothers. Did you know what the cross made possible? Christ has turned his sinners into family members. You could become a family member of Christ simply putting your faith in him. You become a brother, a son. You're born into a family. And that's what he says. I want to make you sons. I want to make you my brothers. Go tell them. Go tell them. Well, I think of what do we gain from this? What do we gain from this encounter with this first person by herself getting to see the resurrected Christ? Well, let me give you five things. One, she visibly saw him in a body. She saw him visibly in a body, a real body. Two, she heard the voice of a risen, resurrected Christ. He can talk in a resurrected body. He can be seen. She recognized and saw him when she heard him. So, this is wonderful. We will recognize Christ when we see him. And we will see him. She touched a real body. She didn't reach out for the feet and all of a sudden it went through because of spirit, like a Casper or wind. She didn't reach and there was nothing there. For in the resurrected body, there is substance. We don't become spirit. We're bone and flesh in a resurrected body. Because the Greek world nor the Roman world believed in the physical resurrection of a body. They said immortality of the soul. The soul goes on forever and ever. Jesus said, I'm not talking just about soul. I'm talking about, I'm going to resurrect a body. Touch me, Thomas. And you can touch me, Mary. You just can't hold me here. There's going to be a real body when we see Christ. And I think what's the clincher, she obeyed the resurrected Christ. Now, let's apply this to ourselves. Number one, I have never seen the physical body of Jesus Christ. But according to 1 John 3, someday he shall come, and when I see him, I will see him as he is, and I will become like him in my body. He'll transform your body. This is a resurrection hope. That's why it's not depression for us to do funerals. Funerals are filled with hope because Christ is the sample of what happens. Two, I have heard his voice as millions throughout history have heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me, believe. I heard it through his witnesses. I've heard it through his written word. And it's as good. B.B. Warfield one time said, what the Bible says, God says. When God speaks, he often speaks in this word. This is God's voice. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. This is the voice of God. Three, I've recognized that Jesus is who he said he was. Born of a virgin, crucified like scripture said, and raised as God promised. I've not touched his body yet, but I will in eternity. He said in Zechariah that those Jews that see Christ come back to the earth, they will look on him and begin to wail as a woman who's lost her firstborn child. And he will show them to himself, show him his hands, and they'll ask him, where did you get these wounds in your hands? He said, I got them in the house of my friends. And no doubt he'll let them do like Thomas of old. Go ahead and put your hand in my wounds. Did you know in eternity, I believe you'll be able to touch the body of Jesus? We'll come in contact with him. He won't be just way up there. Way up there. No, I want to say, Lord, you got to do for me as much as you did for Thomas. I want to touch him. For I believed without seeing. And you said, I'm more blessed, but I still want to touch you someday. I, with millions of others, have responded to the voice of this resurrected Christ. And guess what the response was? Don't keep it to yourself. Go tell the disciples who have become brothers. Go tell them. I often at Easter, one of my favorite historical stories that I often read, and bear with me those who've heard it before, it's just so marvelous right out of history that I want to conclude with this marvelous bit of history. Wellington was engaged in fighting Napoleon, historic battle. And because he was over in France, and you had the British Isles there and the English Channel separating them. It had been arranged that when this British general, when the battle had gone one way or the other, they had put signalmen on the top of Winchester Cathedral. And with the instructions to keep their eye on the sea. And they were to be watching the ships. And they were to have a certain signal to go across and to let them know how the battle went. This was historic. Had England not survived this, no doubt Napoleon would have invaded England and we would be speaking French. It was a crucial battle. Most never thought Wellington had a fighting chance against this French genius at battle. They arranged at the channel. They had the ship signalman. And so the first ship sent out a signal that said, Wellington. The next word signal was defeated. The fog moved into the channel, and for 3 hours, the message went across England that we've been defeated. We've been defeated. After 3 hours, the fog lifted from the channel. And once again, the signalman sent out the message. It said, Wellington defeated the enemy. On Good Friday, the fog came in. And it said, Christ defeated. 3 days later, the fog lifted. And it says, Christ defeated the enemy. He's alive.
This is Truth for Today with Pastor Phil Howard, the ministry of Valley Bible Church in Hercules. And as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we would simply leave you with our address, phone number, and an invitation to join us for worship. Here's our phone number and address, 855-833-9864. That's 855-833-9864. You can also find us on the web at valleybible.org. That's valleybible.org. And when you stop by and pay us a visit there on the website, please take advantage of the resource materials we have available for you there. And we do have quite a bit. Our desire is to see you grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Any tools that we come across that we feel are of benefit towards that, we'd like to make them available to you. And again, you'll find it all at valleybible.org, along with information about who we are and what we believe, worship opportunities here at Valley Bible Church, and directions as well. In fact, Sunday services are at 9 and 11 a.m., And you can join us for Truth for Today, Monday through Friday, 5:30 in the morning here on KFAX. Again, our desire is to see you grow in grace. And if there is any way we can help facilitate that, well, that's what we're about. If you'd like to be a TFT sustainer, please get a hold of us at 855-833-9864. Let us know you're interested in sponsoring the program financially and praying for us. As a TFT sustainer, you'll receive a quarterly newsletter, once a year special gift, and you'll have access to Take a Break with Pastor Phil, the weekly video devotional that we have available. Oh, by the way, when you stop by Facebook next time you're visiting, simply get into the search engine at Facebook and look for Truth for Today Radio and like us. We'd love to keep you up to date as to what's happening here on the radio broadcast. And then come back and join us tomorrow morning, 5:30, as we kick off another week of broadcasts here on KFAX. This is Truth for Today with Pastor Phil Howard. And until tomorrow, God bless.